Sister Gunnels with the situation with her brother as they learn more, see what exactly is going on. And let us begin our reading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We have been looking at this great psalm, this often used psalm, but we've been looking at it through that phrase, I shall not want. All these things that are listed are things that in a regular person's life, in a carnal life, they want for these things. They often want for comfort. They want for stillness and peace. They want for provisions and rest. But for a child of God, he supplies all these things. We'll have no lack of them unless we've strayed away from where he would have us to be. So again, that rest, that peace, that provision that we need goes down to what we're going to be looking at today. And that's, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And as we look at that, it's important for us to note that that word table there, we're using this illustration of the sheep. And a table could be any flat, plain setup. So when we look at the idea of the shepherd laying out a table, he doesn't have little lambs and sheep sitting at a woodboard table with little forks and knives getting ready for the food to come. No, it is that flat space of land that he is taking them into that they may go and graze. Now, not all land is good. Many of you with dogs or pets outside, you let them go run in the backyard because you know the backyard, you know what's back there, and you know that it is safe. You wouldn't let your dog run out there if there was a huge missing part of the fence. You wouldn't let a grazing animal out into an area where there's poisonous flora out there, poisonous plants out there. You wouldn't let them out there for that. You would do what? You'd go out, you'd remove those plants, you'd kill that area off, and after a safe amount of time, you'd let the animal go back out there. And that's what that's referring to. You set up this table for me. You allow for me to have all of these things, all of the things that I need, and you do so in the presence of mine enemies. So that I don't have to hide, I don't have to worry. I know that you are taking care of things. And I know that you are providing things. And it doesn't matter what the environment, you can change that environment to make it better. We see here that phrase, he prepares that table. He prepares a table. Now what do when we go sit down at the table? You know, we went back there, we sat down, there was a good cover on the table. Some of the men, they got the pretty centerpieces out there, the salt and the pepper. Everything you'd need, and some things you just want. Just sitting right there at that table. Now, we also think about this. We went around that food table. Not everything on that table was a necessity. You notice that? Who made the beans and the hot dogs, the little beans and sausage? You could do that again. But there is nowhere in the food table. If I took that recipe to my doctor and say, hey, doc, look what I ate. He'd be like, no, Matt, that's not what you're supposed to have. It is what I want. That's not what you're supposed to have. Oh, and forget about that dessert table. Forget about it. Those are things what? Do we need those things? No, but we want those things. And we're so blessed to have those things. And that's a blessing, isn't it? Nine different kinds of desserts and everybody brought in different things. And, you know, it's not just one kind of food. You want a hamburger? You want a hot dog? No, I'm vegetarian. Well, come on over to the salad area. We got some fruit here too. There was options. Why? Because the food was plenteous. It was what we would call a feast. Well, the Lord does that for you spiritually. And that's what we have here in the house of God. You know, hey, listen, sometimes we need some encouragement from people who aren't the pastor. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand why I should be jealous about that, but I ain't. I appreciate the devotions that the men come forward and give. You need a voice that ain't mine to encourage you. That's why we still have all the pastors that have ever preached behind this pulpit that we've got a recording of. We've got it on the website. It's good for us to hear other people encourage us. That's the purpose of the devotions. That's the purpose of the sermons we keep saved. So we can go and hear other verses, other voices preach the same verses so that we can get that encouragement. We can get that education. We need devotions. I love a church that does a good devotion in the morning. Well, isn't just having Sunday school enough? I don't know. Every now and then you want that cherry on the top, don't you? Every now and then you're going to want a little bit more to go with it. You don't want just a hot dog. You want maybe some chili on top of it, right? It's more sustenance. When I go into the house of God, I want to hear the Word of God, right? And I want to hear it often. If we came up and we had an entertainment portion of it, sure, that would be fun. But that's not what I came here for. You know, there's Christian comedians. You can find them online for free. What we need is good encouragement. So yes, we need devotions. What else do we have here? We have Sunday school. And Sunday school on the level to the people that should be hearing it. Right? We wouldn't expect a Lucy Sunday school class to come up here and pay attention to the adult Sunday school class. Why? Because that's a bit too far for a child to walk. You understand? So we have them taught on their level. Right? And then we've got some, you know, we got some teen courses set up because those teen years, those going into the adult years, thousands of decisions you got to make. You need some biblical advice there. So we set it up for that. And we here in our adult Sunday school class, we've gone from various topics. I like to go a little bit to Bible doctrine over to practical living application. I like to bounce between those two things. Lately, we've been studying the Baptist church. Now, not because I think anybody here doesn't know, but because it's good to have that just reminder. It's good to restudy it. So we've got that. Then what do we have? We have preaching. Now, if the church has a good preacher, well, that's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you what, if God wants that pastor to be there, he's going to have something, whether he's interesting or not, for you to understand. I've sat at sermons where the guy hopped around and hooted and shouted and he was all manner of entertaining. And I walked out and I went, what a funny character. And I've had the same kind of preacher get up and break my heart. Just shatter it with the Word of God. I've had men get up and they're just kind of here. They're going to kind of mutter into the microphone. And I've scarce to be able to stay awake. But I've had more than a few of them who preach just like that. Put me through the same thing. Conviction, heartbroken. Just being drugged to the Lord by my ears. Doesn't matter if he's alive, if he's good, if you think he stacks up to others. If God wants him to be there, he's going to supply what he needs to give to you. And we've got that on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night. We've got it on a Wednesday. We've got it Thursday nights during the summer for the kids. We've got it Friday morning for those that ain't got nothing better to do on a Friday morning. We've got it. The Word of God abounds in Home Missionary Baptist Church. So we cannot say that the Lord has not set a table for us. Right? It's like a surly teenager sometimes. When a church member will sit there and not go to church and not attend and come in with a bad attitude. And we don't get that here, but you get that in some churches. Well, they'll show up maybe once a month. They'll show up every now and then. And they'll sit there and talk about how, oh, that pastor don't preach no good. He don't do no good for me. Well, I tell you what, if you're at home and I can't pick up the phone, again, don't happen here, but I pick up the phone, you don't pick up the phone for me, I can't get to you. You understand? You need to get into where the table is set. Like a surly teenager sitting in their room. Are you going to come down to dinner? No! Okay. My mom and dad don't feed me at home. The table was set. I called you to dinner and you didn't come. Now again, folks, we've got a church where We've got a lot of health issues. I ain't dragging anybody here. I've mentioned a few times, not here, so don't come up to me later and say, oh, Pastor, please understand. We do. Right? We pray desperately for the ailments and the hurts of our church members. We don't question that. By the way, I failed to mention that. If you could pray special for Sister Cherry, maybe send her a card this week. You know, being at home, having large amounts of illnesses, some of you all know what that's like. You're stuck in that room. You're stuck in that house. And it messes with you. If you could just send her some love this week, I'm sure she'd appreciate that. And I'm not just talking about her. We've got some folks that have a hard time coming in. Let's make sure we're a blessing to them, right? And if you are one of those people, don't sit there, well, they must think this about me. They must think that about me. We don't. Because some of us are just coming over illnesses. Some of us have seen chronic illnesses. Don't do that. But for those that are sitting there going, well, we got the ball game down at 11, and you know how he preaches, so we're staying home. That's the critter I'm talking about. I'm talking about that one. I'm talking about that person who says, you know what? We could, but we did just rent out. We did just buy this brand new boat, and if I don't use it every Sunday of the summer, what am I going to do? That's who we're talking about. The table is set, but we don't use it. How about this? You got your Bible with you? Well, you got that table with you everywhere you go. Some of you have got multiple Bibles. Doesn't matter where you are, where you go, the table is set, but you don't eat it. Danielle used to get mad at me. I'd go to work. I used to have this boss who always liked to go out to eat for lunch. She'd make my lunch like she was my mom. She'd make my lunch. All right, I'll eat your lunch. Okay, honey. I'd come home with that lunch. Oh, she didn't like that. Why? Wasting money, wasting effort, right? So many of us, we carry around that word of God, we never open it up. It's with us. It's available. It's convenient. It don't cost you nothing to open up, but yet we leave it there. We've got something to eat spiritually, but we don't touch it. Instead, what do? We gorge ourselves on the ho-hos and the Twinkies of ungodly entertainment. And I'll tell you what, it's a treat every now and then, but to make a diet out of it transgresses what Brother Mark was talking about this morning. Rots the mind. Ruins it. I can't remember who did it. But one of the kids was playing with Melody's plastic. Melody has this giant plastic pink video game thing. And one of them was playing with it, and one of them moved just as the other one brought it down. Complete accident. I was there. I saw the whole thing. Just clonked the other one in the head accidentally with it. And they couldn't really get mad because everybody saw it was clearly an accident. But in my mind, I made that joke. See, video games will hurt your brain. You know, just a dad joke. They didn't appreciate it either. We entertain ourselves too much. We let ourselves luxuriate too much. All of a sudden, we're undernourished when it comes down to our spirit. The table is prepared. Right? Now what about this? What about worship? I do believe that worship is a good facet of spiritual growth. If you're not involved in private worship, you're going to struggle. So what do we do privately in order to worship? What do we do to maintain those things in our lives? Do you not have a songbook? Now some of us, if you're like me, Brother, God don't want to hear me sing. Right? He says, make a joyful noise. You know, go ahead and read it. Read it to him like you're praying. Trust me, your heart will thank you for this. Your relationship with God will flourish for this. Take time. Let your heart reach out to him. The table is set. Now let's talk about other things. Many of our real physical needs. Tangible, I don't mean to use the word real, tangible physical needs. The Lord provides as well. You know, hey, listen, I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how we're going to do that. There's the Lord. He steps in, provides some kind of miracle, provides the way, solves the problem, parts the Red Sea, so to say. While you're sitting there frantic going, Lord, what will we do? He's already got a plan, and he's about to put it into place. So again, he provides the things we need. He sets those up. Like a good shepherd takes care of and maintains the needs of his flock, God loves and cares for His children and maintains them the same. Takes care of us, loves us. I mean, if you think about it, if you had a cupboard filled with food and your children came to you and said, "We're hungry," would you not bring it down and feed them? We would. Each and every one of us would. I've heard the way some of y'all talk about your kids. I know you'd take the food off your plate to give to them if you had to. So how much more would your Heavenly Father care and love and even dote on you? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He never gets into a bad spot. He could provide whatever you need. Oh, we ought to praise Him. We ought to take joy. We ought to be able to relax in the understanding, right? In the understanding that God is caring for you. When I was a kid, I never wondered about food. When you think about it, you don't really think about food until you're an adult, do you? Right? Grocery shopping. It's not just grocery shopping, right? You're planning, right? And the way Danielle does it, she's got it all set up. Here's what the meals we're going to eat. Here's the ingredients. And some of these ingredients are needed for two or three things. Like, it's a whole science. Kids don't think about that. You know what they think about? What are we eating? And I don't like that. Those were the two thoughts we had about food when we were a kid. What are we eating? What are we eating? And I don't like that. Right? That was it. Nowadays, you think about affording it. You think about the prices going up. You think about where to get it. You think about food recalls. You think a lot about food as an adult. But as a kid, you didn't care, did you? Well, we have mac and cheese. Oh, I love mac and cheese. What was it? My mother-in-law was telling me about my niece. She still just loves chicken nuggets and pizza. Well, she ain't wrong, you know. That's all they care about. This is what I want. You see, God, He is aware of everything. He knows the droughts, the famines. He knows your needs. He's not going to hold anything back. He's going to make sure you have everything. He's thought about everything. So we don't need to stress. We don't need to worry. Be good stewards. Rely on the Lord. And He'll take care of those things. He'll take care of it. Right? Will it always be perfect? No. You know what? Sometimes it's ramen. Sometimes it's good steak. But believe you me, we've never seen the righteous forsaken. Never. Never seen one of God's people in such a dire strait. He takes care of His own. He gives you all the things you need. He gives you some of the things you want. We can rely on Him. We can trust Him. We see that not only does He prepare this table, but He does so in the presence of our enemies. Now, that is a weird word for us to focus on, because I don't know about you, but I'm not Batman. I don't have a list of enemies. You know what I mean? I'm like, anybody here, well, here's my list of enemies. So-and-so is my, I don't think like that. I don't think you do either. It is not a very modern adult thing to do. So-and-so is my enemy. We don't have that. But we do have enemies. We do have those that would seek to see us fail or struggle. You know, the devil wants to see you fail in your Christian walk. So every time you come in and you listen to that sermon and you engage with it with your life, the devil has to watch you do that. You get stronger and he has to watch. Every time you pick up the Word of God, when you pray, when you are edified spiritually, the devil wants you to be a reproach to God, and he is watching you get stronger instead. See, when you come and you eat at the Lord's table, he has to watch. He has to see that. I want you to consider that relationship between God and Job. God knew who Job was. God knew Job's strength. God knew exactly what Job would do if things went bad. And when things went bad, what did Job do? Exactly what he had always done. "Job, I think you ought to curse God and die." "I ain't losing my integrity." "Well, Job, obviously you're committing some wild sin and you need to out with it." "No, no. Believe me, fellas, I'm looking. I've walked with him. That ain't there." See, they're all trying to figure out what's going on with Job. But the real story here is the devil walking up to God going, hey, see so-and-so? They're messing up. Hey, you see those people down there? It's 2023. You see those people down there? You sent your son to die on the cross. Ain't been a full 2,000 years yet. And they're already messing around. And they've gone off the rails. And you see your people empathizing and go ahead and condoning certain sins. You see them down there? That's what your son's blood did. He's accusing us in front of him. When we stand up, when we stand up and we go to the Lord, we sit at that table and we eat our fill of His Word and we apply those things to our lives, it undercuts His case. And at the very least, man, I might not be able to sit there and say, well, this many people were saved but through me giving the gospel. The Lord did this through my ministry. I haven't been able to brag about a single thing. But if at the end of the day, all I did was obey the Lord and irritate the devil, that's high praise. I'll take that. That's high praise. I'll take that. So while everybody else was going the other way, he kept going the way God told him. I'll take that. The best I can do is not fall for the traps. Amen. Thank you. Let me do that. When we succeed, there's those out in the world that point their fingers at Christians. Some because they had seen crooked people who were pretending to be Christians do awful things. But some just because they hate God. So they'll point at God's people and say, well, you see, they're going to do this and they're going to do this. This is how they're going to fail. This is how they're wrong. When we stand up and the Lord blesses our lives, they ain't got nothing to say. But when you sneak in that private sin and that private sin goes public, it undercuts. You need to eat at the table. You need to go where the Lord has you to be and stay there. So we don't bring a reproach. We don't encourage the enemy. We want to discourage them through what? Godly success. I want to serve Him. I want to serve Him right. And I don't want to err. I want to do right. I want to do the right thing all the time. We do that. There's going to be a lot more silent critics who can make up things but can never get us for anything because there ain't nothing to get us for. Job's friends, they battled on and on and on. Not a one of them were accurate. Not a one of them were right. That ought to be what we strive for, to be so consistent at the Lord's table that every one of our behaviors reflects it. We talked before about that care for that area. So often there would be poisonous flowers of different types, depending on where you are, poisonous plants that would make the sheep sick. So what does the shepherd do? He goes out into that table, out into that grazing land. He pulls those things up. He may send an under-shepherd. He may send somebody else to go out there. Hey, guys, go out there and just identify all of these. Pull them all out. So when we bring the sheep in, they don't get sick. Well, that's your pastor preaching. Don't watch this. Don't listen to that. Don't partake in this. Don't eat the poisons. Be careful of this false doctrine. Be careful of this false religion. Let's get rid of these poisons. Aren't you glad we've got a book? In my family, we're trying to learn plants. But the only advice I've ever been able to give Danielle in the last 2 years since we've moved up here is you should call Maris. Yeah, well, we had some mushrooms growing. She called the gunnel. She called Maris. I don't know what that is. Call somebody who knows. I'm glad I got a book that can tell me what's right and what's wrong. Feasibly, instead of bothering the people that we love, we could just go out and buy a book that identifies those or use the internet. But we don't. See, in that book, I can identify the wrong kinds of things. Right here in the Word of God, I can identify the wrong things. I can identify the right things. God gave us that to prepare that table for us. I ain't partaking in that. Well, why not? Well, you think I'm a bad person? You think only bad people partake in this? No, that's a sin, and I'm not partaking in it. You want to decide what that means for you, you go ahead, but I am not doing that. The Lord saved me, and I'm not going to show some ingratitude. I'm going to obey Him and not touch that. Very simple. So we go out there, and not only does he protect us from the endemic things of life, but he protects us from the sudden dangers. And isn't it amazing? Some of us, we've all got stories. Some of us got stories about how that could have been our last day. You ever have one of those? That could have been it. That could have been the end of it. But you were allowed to continue on. You think that was not by God's providence? Well, you know, that happens at random. Yeah, but you know, it also happens. People don't walk away from those mostly. You know? I've heard some wild stories. Just some amazing things. I've been a part of some different things. I still sit back and go, Lord, that was only you. You know, you think about Peter in the jail cell. How did he get out of the jail cell? He was chained to a guard, right? The door was shut, and he was inside the prison. And what'd Peter do? Angel brought him right on out. He walked over. He could knock on the door. They thought he was so gone. They thought it was his ghost sitting there. That's how settled everyone was. You didn't just walk out. You know what I mean? You didn't walk out of a Roman prison. You understand what would happen to that guard if the prisoner escaped? They'd kill him. And if a prisoner was just able to leave the prison, they're not going to leave any of these guys alive. And if they did, you certainly don't have a title. You certainly don't have a job. They're certainly going to humiliate you. This is Rome, by the way. Back when Rome was Rome. How do you do that? There's only one way. Only one way for that to happen. We've had some answered prayers recently. And I've sat there and said the same thing. There's only one way. They'll sit there and they will try for the next 100 years to come up with a medication that just did what God did in one afternoon. They'll work for the rest of their lives, and then the people they trained will work the rest of their lives to get to that kind of a breakthrough for what God did after a single prayer. There's only one way. He prepares that table in the presence of our enemies, whether it be death, danger, destruction. He takes care of you. Oh, but there's still heartache. There's still danger. There's still pain. There's still bad things that happen. Yeah, you got to remember where you are. You got to remember where you are. Those things are not completely avoidable. But man, when people are able to avoid them like they're nothing, that tells you who's watching over them. That tells you who's guiding them. And while you're sitting there, all your needs provided. Everything that God has to give you, and you're eating it up. I mean, I want you to think about this for a second. If you obeyed the Lord in the way that you're not, so all the ways that you're not obeying the Lord now, be it whatever they are. Some of us, maybe it's this much. Some of us, maybe it's this much. It doesn't matter. If you were to close that gap, no matter how big it is, how much better would your life be? Think about it. It's not necessarily an amen moment. It's a oh me moment. How much difference would there be if I submitted entirely to what God has to say? And then what would happen? Everybody watching you that says, well, I'd never be like that, they got to watch it happen. Think about that. Think about that. That man who says, I don't understand how I was saved. I don't know how it happened. But once I was blind and now I see. They're asking, no, that can't happen. That doesn't happen. With Jesus, it does happen. And that is a sermon that the Lord loves to preach to those that do not believe in him. To you, no. With man, these things are not possible. But with God, what? All things are possible. I'll do whatever I want. He designed everything. He knows the structure of man. He knows how this life works, how this planet works. He'll do whatever he likes. He wants to take a cancer away. He'll take a cancer away. Well, that doesn't happen. Not with you. Not with me. Not with the brightest minds in the medical industry. But with a snap of God's fingers, absolutely. And the world watches. well, you've always had this problem, and you're never not going to have that problem because that's who you are. There's this notion among those who struggle with addiction that once you're an addict, you're always an addict. And I understand what they're saying, that once you've walked down that road, that temptation is always there. But I heard somebody give a testimony that had their life so steeped in addiction, they say, you know what, I'm not an addict anymore, I'm a child of God. Those temptations still come up and knock on my door from time to time. Maybe once every 5 years, maybe every few months they'll sit there and linger for a while. But I go to my Lord and I ask Him to take the temptation away, and I get to spend the rest of the day knowing that that temptation didn't get me today. Isn't that wonderful? Think of some of the pet sins that we keep and we're trying to get rid of. Oh, what joy and excitement it would be to be able to walk around life without them. When those sins are mentioned again. You know, I've had that happen before. You kick a sin, you start new good habits, and it's been a few months since you've committed that sin, and the preacher gets up, and he preaches on that sin, and isn't that way different than when that sin was in your life? See, to me, it was like, oh, well, you're up there. Yeah, I remember that guy. I remember having to dance with that sin. I remember the struggle with that guy. I am glad it's gone. It's worth the fight to be able to sit there and say, I'm glad that sin is gone. It's worth it. The reward is in not having it. Oh, on top of what God blesses you with for obeying. See, when He prepares that table in the presence of our enemies, it is a guarantee that He will care for us, watch for us, supply our needs. And you know what the shepherd does on that table, or does in that table? We see how the sheep pens used to work. Sheep pens never used to have doors. If you look that up, sheep pens, you don't see a lot of doors to them. You see an open doorway, but never a gate. Want to know why? The shepherd would sleep in that door. When Jesus said, I am the door, that's what He's referring to. I sit here in the presence of your life, and I guard you against these things. Now, some of us were foolish enough to sit there and crawl over the side, go, come on, come on, come in, I'll help you in. Come on, Mr. Wolf, I'll help you in. Some of us are that crazy. But the Lord, He sits across that door. Why? Because He thinks you're worth it. I mean, that wolf would get up to that door, he'd have nothing but the shepherd to deal with. That shepherd's life was on the line for the sheep. A bear, a lion, wherever you are on the planet, whatever would come to go get those sheep would have to step across the shepherd. Do you know that that's where God sits in the door of your life? To guard you, to protect you. Let's not be foolish enough to try to sneak the wolves in anyway. But let's dine at the table. Let us take ease in the protection. And praise God daily for His supplying of our needs. And yes, also our wants. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, You're so good to us. You care for us. You make sure we have everything we need and want. Lord, I take that back. Maybe not necessarily everything you want. You've got too much wisdom to do that. But Lord, You give to us. I pray that You never find us ungrateful. I pray that we never forget how wonderful it is, the watch care and just the compassion You pour into our lives, the blessings You give us. Help us never to become complacent with those things. They are gifts from on high, and they should always be treated as such. Help us, Lord, to live a life untouched by sin, so that others, be they those that dislike our lifestyle or those that just don't understand it, that when they see it, Lord, they may understand You better. Because it's not about us. It's about You. And Lord, as You pour that love out on us, it is our desire that the world would come to see it and desire that love as well. Help us, Lord, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.